Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to Wednesday. We've made it to the middle of the week. We're all moving forward, whether it's the Georgia fans from the national championship. Thanks for the time, and let us get started with some headlines for what we think should be a very entertaining show. Crimson Tide has seven players entering the portal. That's a lot. Seven in the portal, and it's only Wednesday. Here they are. Billingsley, by far the biggest name, the tight end. And he's not the only one. You've got quite a few on there. Brown and Lanier. How about Paul Tyson? That is the great-grandson of, yes, you got it, Paul William Bryant, Jr. He has been the backup for a couple of years at Alabama. Still has eligibility left because of the COVID year exemption. Speaking of the Tide, tough news for Jameson Williams. He does have a torn ACL. That's how it looked during the game. There was a lot of confusion. At one time, there were reports he was coming back for the second half, and obviously those were not true for that reason. We certainly hope he can recover quickly. He's got a bright future ahead. Would you like to be the quarterback at Georgia?
No.
You don't want to be?
No.
JT Daniels? Stetson Bennett? A lot of big names. Caleb Williams? I didn't realize he had gone to Georgia. He could. And the chokehold the SEC has on college football. I know viewers and listeners of this show are probably not too surprised by that Yahoo article. That's the theme of that's the theme of every day right now is the chokehold the SEC. There was a big story about Dan Wolken in USA Today on Monday. The Wetzel story today. A lot of big stories on Greg Sankey, the commissioner. And the conference gets stronger while the rest of college football fiddles. Let's get to the program today, and it starts with Bruce Feldman. And then Kirk Herbstreit. He was in the booth for Monday night's game. We'll get his reaction. Jim Donnan, the Hall of Fame coach. He gave Kirby Smart his first job at UGA. And we got basketball. Pretty big-time player dropping by later in the program. And your phone calls at 855-242-72. Oh, well, hold on a second. Before I even get to the – it's been 41 hours since UGA – last won a national title. That's funny. There was somebody tweeted yesterday on Tuesday, the day after. He says, it seems like just yesterday that Georgia won a national championship. Now it seems like 2 days ago. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. James starts it off from where else? Alabama.
Well, Paul, must be a slow day, brother.
No, I just had something to do for a couple of minutes, so I thought I'd go to you first.
Okay. Paul, you doing all right today?
Yes.
Excellent. Have you heard from your most compelling caller since Monday night?
Well, in terms of big-name callers yesterday, we heard from Legend. I'm talking about Bama callers. We heard from Legend and Jerome. We predictably did not hear – no, let me correct myself. We heard from Legend and Joe from Red Bay. We did not hear predictably from Jerome, who was always in the witness protection program after an Alabama loss.
I see.
No Larry. Who else did we not hear from? K-Dub. The artist formerly known as the greatest caller, page 54, didn't hear from him.
Fairly long list, isn't it, Paul?
It's a considerably long list of people who don't call in after an Alabama loss.
Okay, tell me something. I heard a relatively, I don't like the word famous, but heard a man on his talk show program the other day talk about how bad the semifinal games were, but we're still angsting for an expansion of the playoff. Do we really believe that more bad football games are going to be good for college football?
I don't think more bad will be good, but I think more will be good because you'll ultimately get better games. You'll have competitive games in the first couple of rounds. I don't know about you. I'm pretty excited about the wild card games this weekend. There may not be any great games, but there may be. So yeah, people enjoy watching college football. You want bad semifinals or do you want bad bowl games? Pick your poison, which is why I'm going to Daryl from Columbus, Georgia right now.
Well, I surely don't. I mean, we get enough bad bowl games, don't we?
We do.
Paul, when are Alabama fans going to stop making excuses? All I'm hearing about now, they always pull up excuses. Now is if our two receivers hadn't been injured, we would have won. You know, Georgia had their tight end, Brock Bowers, a sensational freshman. He had a banged-up shoulder. We went into that game without our leading sacker. Well, he was leading the team in sacks. When he got dismissed from the team, Adam Anderson, he would have been All-American, first team All-SEC, no doubt. You know, I mean, we missed a lot. Our quarterback was out. I mean, you know, stop making excuses, Alabama. Just take it like it is. I mean, you got whipped the second half, you know, on the offensive line and defensive line. That's why you lost. Paul, this is what I want to talk to you about. I listened to Kirby Smart on Good Morning America, talking about him and Nick Saban.
Oh, really?
You know, I think he might be right. I don't think there's hate there. But there's a little something there that's kind of, you know, it's like this. If they're both at the lake, I doubt they're going to meet up and go out and play golf.
Yeah, I didn't see the interview, but and I'm just giving you what I believe. But I think there's
but let me say
I think
this,
a number
Paul.
Of things have happened since Kirby left that have created a divide in that relationship. I want to comment on that too.
But let me say, I heard the defense coordinator that's leaving Georgia going to Oregon. I heard him talk about Kirby Smart. He said the one thing that he really admires about Kirby is very open to new ideas. And I can't help but wonder. I would say that Nick Saban is probably not like that. I mean, I know that Nick Saban, all those assistants that's left, that's been there under Nick Saban. I know a lot of them left for promotions, head coaches.
Just wait until this current coaching staff gets cleaned out. It just next few days will be a lot of headlines about the Alabama coaching staff.
Let me ask you this: the guy that Mel Tucker, do you think if he would have stayed at Alabama, he would have been the defensive coordinator?
Yes, I do.
I do too. My point is, Nick Saban's hard to work for. And if everybody wants to say that Kirby Smart's still like Nick Saban, no, he's not. I think he took what he thought was good from Nick Saban and used that. But there's a lot about Nick Saban that he's totally different in that. And one more thing I want to say, and I've heard you say it, I'm just saying, you know, saying that Kirby Smart stole something from – I think stole is the wrong word. I mean, unless we know that for a fact. You would think if he stole something, the university would be pressing charges. That's kind of, you know.
Hold on a second. We're not talking about stealing merchandise.
Well, I know. You said the word steal, Paul.
Slow down a second. Accusation is that when Kirby was there helping Alabama get ready for the national championship, he took the recruiting board. Now, often Nick Saban's office is an inner sanctum where the recruiting board is. And I didn't accuse him of it. People in the Alabama athletic department accused Kirby of taking a picture of that board and then going to those same recruits. And that's where the divide began. And then you remember the Maurice Smith situation. By the way, it's understandable when you compete at that level that you're probably not going to be close friends. Sometimes you can be. But I think it's just my opinion that they're nowhere. You know, the Nick Saban, I love Kirby. Take it for however you want to take it, okay?
Yeah, I know. But let me say, you know what, as far as going, you know, the recruiting board, I mean, schools are out, you know, coaches are going recruiting players anyway. They all go after pretty much the same players, you know, all the five-star, big-time players. So I believe Kirby would have went after the guys anyway, regardless of how many he landed. You know, I know we got Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm was supposed to go to Alabama and ended up going to Georgia. But I tell you what, I thought they were best buds. I saw that interview, and you could tell. I mean, Kirby Smart has a lot of respect for Nick Saban, no doubt about it. Kirby Smart knows that he would not be where he's at right now if it wasn't for Nick Saban. But to say that they are alive, they're getting along.
I mean, there are some people I have tremendous respect for. I can't stand them,
right,
but I still respect them.
Exactly.
There is a big difference. We'll take a break. More to come. A lot of guests will be dropping. I'm not talking about callers, okay? Daryl thought that was talking about him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome you back. Great to have you here early in the program on a Wednesday. And more phone calls continue. And Red Dog is up next.
I want to say this because, Legend, I hope you hear this. You're a loser, dude. We all know you were pretty in stripes behind bars. We all know that. And you root for Alabama because you're a plumber with your crack hanging out, dude. You're a fat loser. And you lost. Kirby, he gave it to Nick Saban. Let's be honest. He had his year. You ain't the Yankees because you ain't in New York. You grew up in Baltimore. You sound like a poor man's Dusty Rhodes. And I'm Ric Flair, and I put you in the figure four, buddy. And you weren't even in the game.
I thought Ric Flair was a Michigan fan.
He's just a Michigan fan because he got his feelings hurt because Kirby Smart was shaking
hands. By the way,
I'm glad
you mentioned it because Ric Flair came out pulling for Jim Harbaugh, dissing Kirby Smart. So then Ric Flair comes out Monday night. I think he's at the game saying, "Go Dogs." I mean, is Ric Flair the biggest?
Yeah, I know. He is kind of a joke.
I mean,
you said it. I mean, he's just trying to live in his 30 years ago. Nobody cares.
Rick, it's over, okay? Just admit it. I mean, nobody wants
you. The biggest highlight he's had in the last 5 years is going on your show at the SEC Fanfare, right. So he just needs to get over.
That may be the first time I've ever agreed with you on something.
Well, all I got to say is go Dogs.
I mean, is that how bulldogs bark? Woo, woo, woo. I thought they, bulldogs have a pretty good bark, don't they? Yeah, woof. Yeah. Deeper woof. That's it. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo is a chihuahua.
That's a chihuahua.
Woo, woo,
woo. That's an ankle eater.
Woo, woo, woo is legend right now. Let's actually, that's a bulldog. One more time.
Woo, woo.
Woo. How about this? That's Ric Flair. Sean is up next in Maryland. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Remember when I called in earlier this year?
Yeah, I sure do, Sean.
I said that we would face Alabama in the SEC championship and the national championship.
You said that.
Yes,
I did. To you.
Yeah, I said that. I knew that the first time we faced them, I knew something was up with our secondary, but Tennessee did what they did.
You're You're right. Sean, next time you have a bit, do you have any picks on the playoff games? I'd like to get rich, okay?
On what playoff? Oh, yeah, Netflix.
No, I'm talking about the NFL playoff games.
Oh, yeah. I think the Eagles are going to beat Tom Brady.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that earlier this year when we saw him play during the Thursday night, but the Eagles kind of lost that game off a penalty.
Yeah, you're right. Sean, are you a sportscaster?
Well, I do pay attention to a lot of sports. So my dad kind of gets me into it, so I know how a lot of sports, and I can tell a lot of stuff of football.
Sure.
So,
hey, Sean,
yeah.
You live in Maryland, right? Where in Maryland?
Northeast. It was like near Charlestown.
Yeah, sure. I know. I know what you're talking about. Well, how old are you, Sean?
I'm 11. I'm going to turn 12 in like 11 days.
Let me give you some advice, Sean. Don't push the next birthday. I promise you, you'll regret it. 11's a good age. Hold on to it as long as you possibly can. Mike is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well.
I just wanted to make a little observation about the game to all these Alabama scholars and all these people that are saying, well, Georgia was the more experienced team and we had to play freshmen. If you look, then I think you'll see that Georgia's last three touchdowns were all scored by true freshmen.
That is correct.
So to be complete, to be elite, you've got to be complete. And it looks like what Kirby did was he just developed his team more and got better play out of his youngsters.
Well, he got better play out of everyone. That would be the understatement of the century. Thank you very much for the call. Great to hear from you. It doesn't matter anymore who got the touchdowns in that game, who did what. It's over. And we all know how it went. Travis is in South Carolina. Hello, Travis.
Thanks, Paul, for taking my call. My two boys and I watch your show every day.
Thank you.
And Gamecock fans wanted to know, do you think with the recent recruiting gains that Shane Beamer's made, do you think that South Carolina can get over the hump or get on a level field with Georgia in the future, maybe get to 9 wins next year?
Yes. First of all, Shane Beamer understands how to do it. Not only has he learned from his father, but he's also learned from people like Kirby Smart. Shane Beamer played a big role over there a couple of years ago in helping to recruit and develop that program. So I think he's very capable. I think when you exceed expectations early on, you build momentum, you build enthusiasm. And I think it's entirely possible that program will be competing for championships in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, when he was our coordinator at South Carolina is when Spurrier had his best years, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I feel badly I left Spurrier out of that equation, but you're right. What he did under Spurrier is how he ended up getting the job. He impressed so many people that are a part of that culture over there. Hey, thank you for the call. Chris is up next in Georgia. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
And like I said, I want to say go Dawgs. I love the Bulldogs. You know, you got to have thick skin to be a Bulldog fan because it's been a while.
You got it.
But I was just going to say that all these, a lot of these Alabama people or Alabama fans are saying a lot like liberal. Like a Democrat party or something nowadays, where they're whining about this one game. You know what I mean?
Hey, Chris, let me tell you, you really know how to hurt a fan base by calling Alabama fans liberals and Democrats. you have really put it to you have really put it to them.
Well, my thing is,
by the way, for the record, Georgia went Democrat in the last election.
Hey, watch yourself now.
Alabama
didn't lose that.
That was a solid Republican.
Anyway, I was going to call in. You know, I love my Bulldog. I love yourself, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I just thought I'd say that before before Tommy Tuberville called in. Duke is up next in Virginia. Hello, Duke.
Paul, this is Duke Feltz. I just want to call in. I just remember on April the 15th this past year, I called in and said the the Dawgs wouldn't do too well this year. They weren't going to win any national championship. And I said the Braves weren't. I said the state of Georgia wasn't meant for championships. Well, I'm here today to eat crow, and that's all I want to say.
Well, we've been wondering why it's taking you so long to call, Duke. We will take a break. The guests will start piling in here. We got Bruce Feldman and Kirk Herbstreit. Can you do any better than that for the first two guests of the afternoon? They start dropping by next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
A lot to do today, and let's get started with Bruce Feldman, one of the best anywhere that covers college football with The Athletic and, of course, Fox. Bruce, thank you for the time. Before we get too deep, your reaction to Monday night, and what do you think it's going to mean moving forward for Kirby Smart and the Georgia program?
Oh, I think now he's got so much more momentum because the results in recruiting have definitely translated onto the field. And I think it was an amazing job by that whole staff. And I thought, I was down at the coaches' convention in San Antonio, so I'm in a bar watching it with a bunch of football coaches. And then after the game, it kind of sunk in. I got to see, the post-game interview Stetson Bennett had, and just thinking back to, talking to people close to him over the last couple of years, I think it's just a remarkable story, an inspiring story, his especially. But there's so many good stories that are tied into that Georgia team, whether it's N'Kobe Dean or Bennett or about 15 other ones. And I just thought that this was a culmination of what feels like it's been building to this point. And congrats to Georgia that they were able to beat the best coach of all time and a team that had a great quarterback and the best player in the country on the other side of the ball in Will Anderson. I just thought it was, it's a huge, huge time for Georgia right now.
Bruce, I'm not asking you to name names, but what type of commentary were you hearing at that bar watching the national championship game from other coaches?
I think there were some moments there where you would see, it's in the red zone and there's a two-point play that Bryce Young, who's a really athletic, obviously won the Heisman quarterback, he didn't even get to the five-yard line because of the athleticism of some of these huge guys Georgia has tracking him down. I think there was some wow factor. Like, a lot of these guys know it, but then just to kind of hear it, see it in the moment in real time as you're listening to the reaction from some of these coaches, just to talk about the athleticism, not just the athleticism, but the athleticism in such big people. And that was, it's just, it, but then you hear guys kind of marveling at it. And that's why those two teams were in the game on Monday night, in large part.
Bruce, just talking to people, which you do better than anyone in reporting on your findings, what is your sense from that coaching convention just in terms of the big issues that are bedeviling college football right now?
The biggest thing that has guys reeling there is the portal. I mean, we have a lot of attention on NIL, and I think people are adapting to it, and it is unwieldy, and right now it is uncharted and to some degree like the wild, wild west. But the portal aspect of it, I think, has people just twisted inside out, because you don't know how you're managing roster management from that standpoint. And certain players are in the portal. You may really want them, and then you find out they're ineligible. And so they're kind of tied into, well, can they come? And there's other guys who think they had offers coming out of high school, so they think they're going to end up someplace. And a lot of players are not going to have spots. And then one of the subplots to that was talking to a coach actually in the SEC footprint who has a son who's a talented player. And he was just saying, there's a lot of high school recruits who are going to get squeezed in this process because there's not going to be people who are going to have space for them at this point. So maybe they'll end up as walk-ons. Maybe they'll end up being drop-down players who will be really good players and then end up getting really re-recruited a year from now. And so I think it's hard for coaches to wrap their heads around the portal because everything is moving so fast. And you hear a lot of talk about poaching and different things of that are going on behind the scenes. And you combine that with the NIL specter of, hey, somebody's going to offer this kid or this kid's family this deal, and are they actually going to follow through on it? It's a really interesting time right now in college football as all these things are just getting sorted out in real time.
Let me ask you about the biggest name in the portal, and that's Caleb Williams, a quarterback from Oklahoma. What happens once you go into the portal, especially when you're him and you're the best known player out there? What type of process eventually occurs as relation to the normal vagaries of recruiting?
Well, I think what's different here is you have a couple of unique factors. He had a big freshman year. He overtook Spencer Rattler, who was obviously a really hyped quarterback at that point. And so he has a track record. And then his coach, who he went there to play for, Lincoln Riley, makes his bombshell move to USC. And a system comes in with Jeff Levy as the new offensive coordinator. It didn't sound like Caleb Williams, or really more specifically, maybe his dad, or even, an advisor who's close to them, who's connected to the QB collective space, Richmond Flowers, I think, who they've been working with since they were in high school. And it's really more geared towards, hey, how can we get him as NFL ready as possible from the time he moves on so he can hit the ground running? And I think those are the things they're trying to sort out, right, in terms of what's the next move. Is it definitely to USC? Is there another college coach in a college system that will get him prepared to hit the ground running for all the concepts and things he needs to do? Because I think as much as people, there's transfer portal issues that I think are tied into NIL deals. This is not one of them from what I'm understanding. It's really about their plan of how do we get him the best training and system for the NFL. And what's going to happen is there's a bunch of guys, including some Oklahoma players, who I think are looking, hey, I'm going to go follow him wherever he goes. Now, I don't think it's a done deal that if Caleb goes to wherever that, all the players are going to follow him, but I think there will be some aspect of a Pied Piper piece of this. And, does that happen in the next week or so when he sorts it out? He's been on the West Coast this week, looking at some options in LA. So we'll see what his next move is going to be.
Bruce, if he's been out there, how likely or where do you think Lincoln Riley and SC fits into the equation?
I think they're the team to beat for him because they bought into Lincoln Riley a couple of years ago. And look, Lincoln Riley has three starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts that he has helped develop. And I think that aspect of it, there's an aspect of a blank canvas of you can come in to Southern California, you know what you're getting with Lincoln Riley. Who would come with him? I also think that, as he's looking at, as that he and his family are looking at options, I think there is a question of like, okay, what else might be better than this? And so I think they know what they're getting. From everything I've heard, at least Caleb Williams has a really good relationship with Lincoln Riley. And so I would expect that, you know, in the next week or so, that that's where he ends up. It wouldn't shock me if he ended up someplace else, just, but that's the, to me, from everything I've heard, that's the team to beat.
Bruce, as you flip that around, and certainly Brent Venables has a great reputation, but from a distance, it just seems like that Oklahoma program is, I don't know if under siege is the right word, but it seems like it's really in a transition. What do you see there, especially if you're right, and a number of players follow him to L.A.?
Well, I think it was big for them, just from talking to coaches at that program, you know, in the last week or so. They thought it was big that, you know, Bob Stoops came back to bring some stability there, because he knows what that place is. And he really said, look, this place is bigger than any one coach, whether it's him or Lincoln or whoever. And I think it's not insignificant that he was able to get a really good quarterback, this being obviously Venables, but also with Jeff Levy, that they were able to get Dylan Gabriel. And speaking of how the portal works, Dylan Gabriel was all set to start classes at UCLA. I mean, he was the guy who had like 74 touchdowns and 12 picks at UCF and decided, no, I'm not going to go there. Basically at the 11th hour, and pivoted and decided, hey, I'm going to go play in Jeff Levy's system at Oklahoma. He knows that system well. I think that is a very good, I don't want to say it's a, you know, backup plan, but I think if that's what they pivoted to, I think that's going to work out really well for Oklahoma. And I suspect, you know, they can sell a lot of, you know, a lot of offensive production that system has had. So I think it'll be a little different, obviously, without Lincoln, but there were some key pieces there. I mean, one of the like, kind of the secret weapons to that Oklahoma offense was their run game, and why it wasn't the what most people think of as an air raid offense. And the run game coordinator, Bill Beedenbaugh, a lot of people thought he was going to leave. He's arguably the best offensive line coach in college football, and he decided he wanted to stay. So I think that was big for Brent Venables to keep him at OU. And, you know, look, as you said, Venables did a really good job at Clemson. I think, especially with them in the Big 12, I think they have a chance. I don't think there's going to be big drop off from them. Obviously Caleb Williams was a jolt that he's likely not coming back. But I think with Dylan Gabriel, they're going to be just fine on offense. And I suspect they're going to be probably as good as they were this year. Now, whether they can take the next step to be a team that can actually win playoff games, that's another story. But I don't expect them to like fall apart, you know, how they seem to moved out of the bombshell aspect of Lincoln Riley moving on. I think they've recovered pretty well.
Bruce, before you go, what do you hear on Jim Harbaugh returning to the NFL?
From everything I've heard in the last week, it's still kind of a 50-50 deal. I mean, people think the timing of it might be ideal for him to make the move. The biggest job that I think was enticing is the Raiders. Well, who knows if the Raiders won to get their way into the playoff. Maybe Rich Bisaccia wins another game, and maybe he locks up the job permanently. But from a timing thing, you got to remember, this is the longest Jim Harbaugh has ever coached anywhere. He was always a four and out guy. He's been there now 7 years. I'd always heard he wants to go back to the NFL at some point. He's 58. Just whipped Ohio State and won the Big Ten for the first time in like 20 years for Michigan. This is on that part. I'm not surprised that people around him think he's seriously considering leaving. It's just a matter of what does he think is the best fit for him going forward? Can he get the Raiders? Is the Bears something that he really would, you know, want to go back to? I don't know. So, but at least both of those places probably have quarterbacks that I could see him wanting to work with.
Great stuff, as always, from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox. We are going to take a break. Thank you, Bruce. We are heading to a break right now.
Thanks,
Kirk
Paul.
Herbstreit, great to have you on. Kirk will join us in the next hour. His recap of Monday night and a look ahead, as with your phone calls, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And welcome back. Kirk Herbstreit joining us in a few minutes. Great conversation there with Bruce Feldman. And let's talk to Howard, who is up next. Good afternoon, Howard.
How are you doing, sir?
Hey, we are doing great.
Earlier I heard Legend on, and I heard another guy on. And all of a sudden I came to a conclusion. You can only respect Legend because he is always for his team. Right, wrong, indifferent. He's loyal. And the other guy was making a quote, and I remembered where his basic idea came from. The idea was is that there was a politician in Georgia that was a Democrat that was very, very powerful. And a young politician was running for a local office. And he said, how you do, sir? And he says, you're the best man. The Democrat power politician said, you're the best man for this position. He said, are you going to vote for me? And he says, I can't. I'm a yellow dog Democrat. And he says, what do you mean by that? He says, if Christ was coming back tomorrow and running on the political party that you're running on, he says, I'd still have to vote straight Democrat because I'm a yellow dog Democrat. So Legend is that way. He'll never change, but you can only respect him because he's honest in his opinions. He grates on you. But I'm not against him. I'm not against Georgia, Auburn. My heart beats in Oxford, Mississippi, where I graduated from college. And I can only say that I can sit here disparagingly and watch all these people, and I get kind of tickled. It's the comedy hour sometimes. But leastways, I respect Legend.
Well, I appreciate that. And when people are consistent, you have to admire them. Ed is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul, it's been a while, but I haven't called in a while.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, I want to talk about this transfer portal.
Sure.
Give an example. My grandson up in Ohio has been recruited by a lot of schools, and they're telling him now we got to wait till the portal comes out, see what I was going there. His coach yesterday told him there's 1,480 kids in the portal as of yesterday. Now, that's just not right, is it? I mean –
I think it is right because everyone that wants to get in there has an opportunity to get in there. So, that number is lower than it was the last time I heard. But I'm not saying it's a good decision, but if you want to go someplace, that's what you do. Or you want to go somewhere else, I should say.
Well, I understand that, but it's just a few things are really hurting college football.
Well, they go to the highest bidder now. There are a lot of college football, but to me, I do like the ability of somebody who's not happy where they are to at least try to go somewhere else. Now, the problem is, and I think every one of these young people in that portal are warned about this, just because you get in there doesn't mean you'll find a spot. So, but I like the fact that college football has loosened its archaic rule of the game where, we as coaches can do whatever we want, but you as players cannot. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's check in with Lee, who is in Cincinnati. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to start out by saying I'm a big Florida Gator fan. But one thing that the national championship and even the semifinals showed, I think, only shadow of a doubt, is just how superior that Southeastern Conference is in college football. And I say that not just because I'm a homer, but I am a homer, I have to admit. But let's look at the two semifinal games, against Michigan and Cincinnati. These were supposed to be the four best teams in the nation. The game between Cincinnati and Alabama was over by halftime. The game between Georgia and Michigan was over before halftime. And then the national championship game, once again, that was a close game. But and above all else, you can say, once again, the SEC keeps setting records on how many people they put into the NFL draft year after year after year. The fact that the Southeastern Conference has had the last three national champions all different teams the last 3 years and five different national champions the last 15 years. I think it shows, without any shadow of a doubt, the Southeast Conference is the most dominant conference. Well,
but hey, but Lee, that's been going on. I mean, the SEC ran off, what, seven straight until Auburn lost in 2013. And you know, this has been going on really since the mid-2000s, the early 2000s. And that's why I think the commissioner, you know, was just rolling his eyes the other day when schools like the Pac-12, who have almost become obsolete in influence and importance, continue to resist the expansion of a playoff that directly benefits them, not the SEC. I frankly think the SEC ought to tell the rest of college football just to go, you know, jump in a lake. Why even try to be amenable, considering how it is treated by everyone else? It's an objective view, isn't it, right here on the SEC Network?